forever. Those out in tape land are not going to get all that. They're just going to hear the rubbing of the coat. All right. So God is good. The Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will do it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was the wings of the Holy Spirit. God gave you the law so that you'd fail, actually to terrorize you. I'm going to say that again because you might not have, you heard the words, but you didn't comprehend it. He actually gave the law so that you'd realize you're in absolute terror all the time. From the moment you're born, you're in terror. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing because it ends you. And it takes you a lifetime to realize you are no good. Let's just say that. I'm no good. It just does your heart good to say that. I'm no good. Now, the Bible says, apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's how you start. So, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's why Jesus said that, is Jesus is the only one that can give you rest. Because all of a sudden now, when I hear the law, I'm not afraid. Why? Because I have rest. Why? Because Jesus is my life. Wow. That's something human law can't do. Because human law isn't as strong as divine law. It can only make me a hypocrite. The best thing that human law can do is make me a hypocrite. The best thing is I don't care what you feel, just do it. I don't care what you think, just don't do that. I don't care what you are all about. This is the law. Do it or else. I love that. But God's law is different. You got to be just like me. When I'm kind, you be kind. When I do this, you do this. When I say this, you say this. So law is neat. Now, I want to distinguish today. I'm going to cut you in half. Divide between your soul, which is yourself, your mind, your will, your emotions. Divide between your soul and your spirit, your heart. Now, this word comes to you and you have an evil heart. That's what the law is all about, to show you your evil heart. Remember, Jesus came into the world to reveal the hearts of men. You remember that? Jesus came into the world to reveal the hearts of men. What are they? Evil. There's nothing in your heart but murder. There's nothing in your heart but adultery. There's nothing in your heart but greed. There's nothing in your heart but bitterness. There's nothing in your heart but selfishness. Amen. That's all that's in there. And if you try to kind of clean it up, you can legalistically, outwardly look like what you're not, but you still are what you are. Evil. Now, has anybody noticed that in your life? That it isn't circumstances, it isn't other people, it's you. You're the problem. As anybody, I mean, you've kind of discovered it. It comes momentarily, you know, you go, God, I'm stupid. Every once in a while you get that revelation, but then you quickly forget in your brilliance and move on. But every once in a while you think, I'm no good. Every once in a while it just comes to you. Has anybody ever had that moment, just kind of a moment where you go, God, I don't know anything. Wow, I am so weak. Wow, I can't do anything. It's just every once in a while. But then you recover quickly and you move on into your phony, fake, lying self. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So this is us by nature, and God wants it that way. He wants you to be a zero. He wants you to realize you're not God. And His goal is to make you a child of God. How can He do it? How can He work with such material as us and make us into mighty men and women of God? It's easy. Promises. Laws don't do it. Only promises. Promises are right hand. Laws are left hand. Always with God. The left hand. If you ever read in the Bible about the left hand, it's always the law. If you ever read about the right hand, it's always the gospel. It's always the good news. This is promises. This is commands. Don't do that. Do this. Refrain from that. I'm forcing you and compelling you to do this. Okay, that's always left hand. But the right hand is always promise. So Jesus, as a son, Moses is over here on the left hand, Jesus is over here on the right hand. Totally, totally, totally never the same. Now, this one can only deal with your body and your soul. This one has nothing to do with body and soul. It has only to do with the heart. God wants to give you a new heart, a new tree, so you can bear fruit more than this one. This one, the best you could do here is be a liar. That's the best you could do. That's the highest you can get. Fake, phony, liar, hypocrite, nasty. That's the highest you can get, hypocrite. That's the highest. But over here, you start out perfect. Gives you a brand new heart, then a new soul, then a new mind, then a new will, then new works. It's all done over here on the right hand. And only God can do that. God made you here, natural, and you can't do anything there. And He made you so you couldn't do anything. Isn't that funny? You can fake it, but you can't do anything. You're really not good. You're really not strong. You're really not smart. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In me, you can do all things. Now, the whole point of mankind is to learn that this could be you, or this could be you. But this one only comes by a promise. This one comes by my best effort. At my best effort, man at his best state is altogether vanity. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing in the sight of God. In the sight of man, we do awesome things. In the sight of men is, look at me. I am awesome. And, you know, even the meekest among us is self-oriented. Even the meekest person among us, the sweetest, nicest, kindest liar is just a liar. When you're at your best, you're actually lying. You're actually just suppressing, repressing, oppressing. That's depressing. But over here, heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. I mean, in this world, right now. Do you realize God wants you to be the light of the world? Here's the light. Over here's the light. Right hand. Over here's the light. Now, let's read Hebrews 4 and see whether what I just said is not exactly, precisely the truth. That there's a difference between your heart and your soul. All right. Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear. Isn't that neat? Let us therefore fear. Fear is good. Lest a promise having been given to you, you don't believe it. You harden your heart. In other words, lest the right hand doesn't operate in your behalf. Because here's God not asking you to do something, but already doing something for you. The gospel is not what you must do, but what God has already done. I'm going to say it again. The gospel is not what you must do over here at your best. This is how we raise kids. We raise kids under the law. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it won't perfect them. Unless the child at some point meets Jesus and falls in love with Jesus and has that inner direction, that child will only grow up to be a hypocrite at best. Which is nothing. Because sooner or later, some circumstance will come out and you'll break the law. And sooner or later, even when you're a good person, how many here are good people? I'm sure at least half of you are good. I mean, decent, kind, nice, friendly. You're liars. Because given the right circumstance, another side would come out. Bah! You know, all of a sudden, your snake jumps out on people. Has everybody noticed that? Is anybody aware of the contradiction that you are? I'm pretending over here that I'm nice and kind, but something will come up and I'll go into a rage. I'll go into self-pity. I'll go into anger. I'll just go into something crazy. Has anybody noticed that little contradiction inside of yourself? That's the natural man. But over here, everything's done by the Spirit, not up to you at all. It's a free gift. That's better. Now, if that's just talk, and it is for the most part. If that's just talk, and it is for the most part. Most churches are talking gospel, but they're living law. Most churches are talking gospel. Jesus loves me, all that kind of stuff. But actually, they're still living the law. They're still behaving themselves. I got to go to church right now. I got to behave. And then as soon as you get out of church, you start swearing, cursing, beating, yelling, screaming. Or feeling proud, arrogant, and so on and so forth. You can't on the left hand accomplish anything. But over here on the right hand, it's all done. Why? Because it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. It's the death of you. This you over here needs to die.
That's right.
That's the purpose of the law, to kill this. To go, gee, I can't do anything. Greatest revelation you ever had. I am no good. Great revelation. I am evil. Yeah, that's good. Have you discovered that? Yeah. He brought that out of you, didn't he?
Yeah.
Marrying him. The children didn't frustrate you. No. Well, he did a little bit. She's worse. Okay. Which shows his kindness toward his sister. Amen. You notice that. It's good. It's good. You see, we're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. See? Now, this is really good news, though I know you don't like it because you'd like to have something more spiritual and religious. But the truth is, unless you know the bad news, you're not going to enjoy the good news. Unless you're sick, you don't need a doctor. Unless you realize, man, I'm lost, you're not going to rejoice. And this is the only thing that the world would ever see that would make them change. Promises. Not commands. I got to stop smoking, chewing, drinking, you know, blah, blah, blah. No. Forget that. Stop that. You don't need to change a thing. Stop. You can't do anything. But in me, you can do all things. In me. So the me is the operative word there. Not the I can do, but the in me I can do. Because there's an old I and then there's a new I. There's the in Adam I and then there's the in Christ I. Do you see that? Totally different. Now, the Bible then, the Bible, the only reason why the Bible is even here, why it's a book. It's a book written by God, but it's got written down here on the earth. That's why it got here with words. The only reason that God ever made that revelation is so you'd know about this, not so you'd know about this. This is written on your heart. Everybody knows you should do good, but you shouldn't do bad. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Show me the most wicked, nasty, horrible criminal. I can show you they have the law written on their heart. When they get into prison, they want justice to be done. Do what they want. Everybody wants that. Everybody knows there's right and wrong. Bubba says this is right. Bubba says this is wrong. Everybody knows that. I don't care where you go, there's law. And nobody can keep it. Even Bubba can't keep Bubba's law. There's no way. So, you have to learn to realize that this is a dead end. This one is only temporary. It only works for superficial reasons. But it's good enough until you find this. In other words, the purpose of this world is to get you to this. The purpose of the law is to get you to the gospel. The purpose of the law is to get you to the gospel. I can't do it here, so I can do it here. And that's a gift. 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 You don't earn it. You don't think it out. Your mind can't get around it. Your mind is useless over here. Over here, your mind works beautifully, beautifully, until you come to a conundrum, until you come to a problem. Then your mind useless again. The leaders of this world have discovered their minds aren't that sharp. I don't care who you are. Professors, you know, you can go to any field. You can go anywhere in the world, and I can show you that people, sooner or later, the more you learn, the more frustrated you become, the more depressed you are. With knowledge cometh sadness. Did you know that? The more you learn, the more, you know, the more we learn about war, the more we learn about anything. I don't care what it is you learn about, the more you realize you don't know anything. I mean, people that are really smart realize they're stupid. The smarter the scientist is, the more he realizes, I don't know anything. As soon as he learns to map the universe, he discovers there's a black hole somewhere that he can't explain. The more you learn, the more dumb you become. Right? Y'all see that? And so, what I thought in the beginning was going to be so easy, behave myself. When I'm three years old, I feel, well, Mom, I can do it. And by the time I go to school, I can handle it. And so that three-year-old's pretty confident. But after a while, when you become 11 and 12 and 13, life becomes more complex. Pimples develop. No, that's not what it is. It becomes complex because chemistry starts inside your body. And you realize, I'm a self. You know, I'm not just learning how many dinosaurs there are in the world. That's sixth grader. When you become a seventh and eighth grader, you begin thinking about yourself and whether you have socks that match. Did y'all say that? But when you're just, you know, a 10-year-old, you don't care. There are 17,000 spiders, you know, and so on, and the little kids can learn anything. But as soon as you get a little older, you don't care about all that stuff. You just care about girls, boys. You just care about getting ahead. having money. You go from paper dolls to, you know, automobiles. Dad, can I have a car? That's amazing. It's amazing how people change over the years, is it not? I remember Margaret, our youngest daughter, who's our Sunday school teacher now. I remember that when she was little, I would just take her to Mott's. You ever hear of Mott's? It's a little store, it doesn't cost a lot. You could go in there and I'd show her the whole rack of paper dolls in Mott's. They had a little rack there. Probably had 35 different paper doll books. Margaret, just pick out any one. Her eyes would light up. She was so excited. $2.98. That was my Christmas present to her. She loved it. I said to her, that was like $1 billion. Wow. I can pick any one, Dad? Any one. And so she'd come home and she had a box. I don't know if you remember this, Kirk. She had a little box. And she'd bring them out every day and line them up. You know, 18th century dolls, you know, all kinds of, you know, colonial and all that stuff. She loved that. And she could play hour after hour after hour in that little box. But then when she became, you know, 16, Dad, I want a car. You can't have a car. You're just a kid. I'm not. Your older brothers and sisters all got cars. They banged them up twice. I won't, Dad. I'm not like them. I've watched. I've learned. I'm ready. I'm an adult. Margaret, that's silly. That's silly. So, 3 car accidents later, we had a little discussion about that. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Now, what's wrong with making mistakes? Over here, it's acceptable. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody. You learn by your mistakes. You learn by mistakes. You learn how dumb you are, how stupid you are, how not so smart, how strong, how good you are. Amen? Anybody ever get married and realize, uh-oh, did you ever realize, oh, my God. You ever realize, don't look over there. Don't look over because she's nodding. You learn, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into? She's not what I thought. He's not what I thought. I'm not what I thought. Because it can bring out the worst side. It can bring out your bad side till you realize after being with them for a while, that's your only side. I mean, that's terrible. Then you have to have a God. So you have to run over here to the right side, to the side of promise. Why? Because God wants you to stay in the situation, grow up. It's you. You're the problem, not the other person. You're the problem. Your unhappiness is due to your decisions. Your decisions cause that. All your unhappiness is due to you, not the devil, not the neighbor, not the family, not the dysfunctional people you're around. You. You're the dysfunctional one. Say it, I'm dysfunctional. Because you are. You are. Especially when you get in the middle of people. Now, if you had dogs and cats, you're okay. But if you get with people, I don't know if any of you have ever gotten with people. But if you get with people, they're dysfunctional. And they bring out your bad side. Amen? I mean, you want to fix them. Like, hey, you need fixing. No, you're the one that needs to fix them. You need to realize that all the mistakes you've made are yours. You did them. You did them. You did them. Take the guilt. Take the responsibility. I did it. Okay, who would like to stand up right now and say, I made a mess of my life. I really did. I was searching for happiness and I never got it. Because it's impossible. By the way, there's nobody here that's ever got it. Nobody. Ever. In the history of the world. You can't find happiness. If you look for happiness, you won't find it. Now, I wonder if there's not somebody here who actually made that your goal in life. Not to know spiritual truth, but to know emotional or soulish happiness. All you want to do is be happy. I mean, that's all. That's all you want to do. I just want to be happy. I just want to be peaceful. I just want to be resting. Did you ever find it? Zero. No. Not possible. I drank beer. It didn't help. I married the, you know, cutest guy. It didn't help. I got all this money in the bank. It doesn't help. I don't care what you do. It doesn't work. Does anybody notice that? Who would like to stand up and say, I know that's true? Amen. Praise God. So, God has designed it that you cannot find emotional, physical happiness here. And even if you do for a few seconds, it'll go away. But you cannot find it here and keep it. Because it's over here. Happy is the man. Listen to this. This is the scripture now. This is the part you don't want to hear. this is the part you need to hear. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Notice, don't trust in yourself, trust in His promises. He's a promise giver, not a law giver. Moses said he's a lawgiver, but did Moses ever keep the law? Zero. He couldn't even go into the promised land because he broke the law. You remember? So Moses didn't make it into the promised land by the left side. He got in by the right side. When he came on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Jesus, Jesus didn't worship Moses. Moses worshiped Jesus. Because the whole law is all about pointing to Jesus. The whole purpose of the law is not to point to you and say, you're the issue. You're not the issue. God is. And God has already made a promise. He's already said, I desire not the death of any sinner. I don't care if you've sinned or not. I don't care that you've sinned. I don't care that you're a contradiction. I don't care that you're unhappy. I don't care that you hate me. I don't care that you crucified my son. I don't care. Here's what I care about. Believe the promise. Just believe the promise. I'm going to give you a free gift. You get another chance. Here's another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance. You can doubt Him all day long. It doesn't bother God. What God wants is, this is what blasphemy. Blasphemy is not swearing at God. God, I hate you. That doesn't bother God. What bothers God is you say, God, you're a liar. No, no. God, when He makes a promise, He cannot lie. That is too powerful. Blasphemy then is saying, God, I don't believe you. You didn't tell the truth. No, God always tells the truth. Even this truth over here of the law was temporal, just to kill you so that then you could be resurrected. Even this is good. It's the best thing. If you don't know you're sick, you won't go to the doctor. If you don't know you're troubled, I tell you, there are hardly anybody comes to me saying, Pastor, I just wanted to share some good news. They don't ever call me for that. Very few. Once in a lifetime. Most people call up to say, Pastor, you can't believe what just happened. Well, hallelujah. No, Pastor, this is bad. This is bad. I just want to tell you what my husband just did. I just want to tell you what so-and-so, whatever. It's bad news. People have problems. And my response is, hallelujah. That's good. You finally realize you're not God. No, Pastor, it's my husband. I know. But you married him. You married him. How stupid are you? You got the problem. You're obviously stupid. If you get another one, you'll marry another stupid person because you're stupid. How many know that women often marry men? Are you aware of that? How stupid could a woman be? That is so stupid. I understand the lesbians. You know, no, I understand them because they want to marry another woman. How stupid can you be? Women are as stupid as men. So you marry a woman, that's stupid. You marry a man, that's stupid. It's just stupid. So you don't have any choices over here. You all see this? God designed it that way. This is not a joke. I'm just telling you the truth. God wants you to believe this promise over here. I love you no matter what. I don't care what you did. I don't lie. I'm telling you the truth. But He won't force you. Over here you're forced. Over here there's no force. Love is free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Woo-hoo! Is anybody here free? If you are, it's because you're building your life on the promises. Standing on the promises, you got to stand on those promises. You don't want to stand on the law. You don't want to get under the law. You want to stand on the promise. You don't want to get under the law. You want to stand on the promise. I've built my life. In the beginning, I was totally over here. But I built my life totally on the promises. And I got them because I was such a failure. Oh, not an outward failure. An inward failure. Totally incapable of love, of anything. My wife used to ask me, do you love me? No. I mean, that was a no-brainer. No, I don't care about you. Well, don't you care a little bit? Pam, do you think I should have cared a little bit? Yeah. That shows that you don't know anything. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. So actually, it was a good answer. No, I don't. Because I knew what she was saying. She wanted me to be reliable. Amen. You guys got to go? Something I said. Those men, they're, you know, praise God. All right. Now, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest. I hope you have entered into His rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Don't. For unto us was the gospel preached. This is Paul speaking to the Hebrews. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. So everybody heard. Even Adam heard the gospel. Eve heard the gospel. Everybody's heard the gospel. What? It's a promise. You remember what God said after Adam and Eve sinned? Adam and Eve sinned. Told them to be good, don't eat the apple. What's the first thing they did? Eat the apple. All right. After they did that, what's interesting? God cursed the snake, but he did not curse them. Did anybody notice that? There were three people in the garden. Adam, Eve, and the snake. And God came along and said, Adam, you didn't eat of the tree I told you not to eat. Now, God knows everything, so it's a rhetorical question. You didn't eat of that tree, did you? The woman. The woman thou gavest me. You gave her to me. I wasn't like that before I met her. That's how many know men like to blame their wives. They love it. Sweetheart, didn't I tell you? Why didn't you remind me? You see, no, that was wrong. You did wrong. I love that. Peg, you forgot to tell me. Why didn't you say so? I love blaming somebody else rather than me. Golly. You were supposed to have my breakfast ready. This and that. So I just love to blame others. Is anyone else like me? I do. I love that. I love it. Well, I would have done it, you know, but you didn't say anything. So there you have it. So I can make myself innocent. But anyway, God showed me, Jim, you're a sinner. I'm not the guilty one. You are. You're not the innocent one. I am. Do you know we like to reverse that? I mean, Satan's helping us out. He's helping us out. Jim, you didn't do anything wrong. It's God's fault. He gave you the brain you have. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with you. Susan, do you have that kind of a brain? I mean, we want to blame God because he's the only one to blame, really. I mean, really, you can't really blame Satan. Satan's just a clever liar. But you really can't blame him. He's a murderer from the beginning. He just wants to kill you. He just wants to destroy you. But don't worry about him. You're the problem without him. Even if you didn't have a devil, you'd still be a problem. He said, don't blame the devil. The only reason he leaves him there is to agitate you until you get to Jesus. The devil can't do a thing. I'm just going to tell you right now, the devil is such a powerless weakling. Absolutely. If he was strong, he would have killed me last night. He didn't do it. I've been around 70 years. He still hasn't got me. I say Jesus all the time. He doesn't do anything. What a weakling he is. He's weak. The devil, I'm afraid to follow Jesus because the devil will get me. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Yeah. Boo! You just go like that. And he'll run. Why will he run? Because you say Jesus. He hates that name. I love Jesus. Hey, devil, if you do that, I'll just praise Jesus. And he doesn't like that. So he basically leaves me alone. Why? Because he doesn't like to bother me. Why? Because I'll get him. Did you know that you could resist the devil and he will flee from you? If there is a condition. Put yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So in the name of Jesus. So I can easily defeat Satan. And once you defeat somebody, you can do it every time. Once you learn that the devil is not that strong, you can defeat him every time. Did you know that? He hates the name of Jesus. I sing all the time. I sing in tongues. I sing in English. I'm always singing about Jesus, talking to him. He hates that noise, that name. He hates that. Ah! He runs away. Did you know that he's subject to me? Do you know I have authority over Satan? You know that we know all his designs? Are you aware that we're not ignorant of his designs, what he's trying to do? Now, if you're not over here, of course, you're subject to him. He's the God of this world, but he's not the God of this world. Amen. This is the world, heaven on earth, called church. Now, you church people, we are church people, we are born again. We're over here, promised people. And we don't have any power except his power, which is more than enough. We don't have any power of our own. We don't need it. We don't need brains. We don't need anything. And as a matter of fact, it says, think on these things. Things that are holy, that are right, that are just, that are true, that are pure, that are perfect, that are excellent. So I don't think on over here, problems and troubles and difficulties and how great I am. I don't want to think about that. I want to think about how great God is. God is great. God is good. Has anybody learned that? All right, now listen carefully. For unto us was the gospel preached, verse 2, as well as unto them, but the word of God preached did not profit them. So the Jewish people heard the gospel too, but all they ever listened to is the law of Moses. They heard the gospel, but they're listening to the law. The gospel tells them what they must do. The law. The law says, this is what you must do. This is what you must not do. But here's the gospel. This is what I've done. This is better. This is what God has done, not what I must do. Why would I want to be over here under a burden? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'm coming over here to rest. Have you entered his rest? That means you're living by promises. How many promises do you know? There's more than 15 in the Bible. That's true. There's more than 15. There's over 100 promises in the Bible. How many promises are there? Well, I know there's 365 because they have those little bread boxes they sell in the store. And they say one for the day. So there's 365 at least promises. But actually there's thousands. Actually, every time God speaks, there's a promise tied to it. Even when he gives the law, if you listen carefully, it's a promise. I can turn every law into a promise. You shall not commit adultery. Now watch, I'll turn it into a promise. You shall not commit adultery. That's a promise by God. The first one was a command to me. The second one was the indicative, present active indicative. You shall not ever commit adultery. Well, I like that one better. I don't like this one. You shall not commit adultery or else. I like this one better. You shall not commit adultery because of me. Because God loves you and because God is on your side, you won't. Really? Even if you're just doing it right then, he can still say it. Because it's a promise that he does, not a command that you does. You don't have to does anything. He does it all. How many know God is one-stop shopping? It's just, you get God, you get it all. If with Christ Jesus he freely gives you all things, you get it all. All you got to do, the whole purpose of life, is just to find out that that isn't it and this is. That's all you have to learn. Over here I can do nothing. Over here I can do all things. This is all you have to learn. And how do you do it? With him. He does it. I love that. That is so freeing. I've entered into his rest. In other words, God created the world in 6 days. When did Jesus die? When did he die? On the sixth day. That's right. Friday. Seventh day, Saturday, that was the day he rested. So if God did all his works in 6 days and Jesus was finished on the sixth day, over. You're dead. Because he could do nothing. The next day is the day of rest. And Jesus entered his rest and he was dead. He didn't move. He didn't make any moves. Then the next morning, the eighth day, is a perpetual rest forever and ever. But not for the Jewish people. Because they didn't mix the law with faith. They didn't mix life with faith. They didn't have promises to live by. So the Jewish people had no promises. Now, actually, it was preached to them, and there's promises galore. They just didn't listen. When they got the law, they just said, okay, I'm going to behave myself. Try it. You can't behave yourself. Oh, naturally, humanly, yes, of course, you can behave yourself outwardly. But it's not from the heart. It's not from the heart. It's not from the heart, because you need a new heart. And you can't get a new heart. Over here, there is no new heart. There's only the old heart, the old man in Adam. But over here, there's a new heart. Now I can do all things. Because my new heart is not me. It's actually Christ in me. It's actually Christ lodging in me. That's my new heart. My new heart is not a new heart. It's actually Christ lodging in me, living by promises, faith in the promises of Jesus. That's my new heart. My new heart is not, okay, now I can do the law. My new heart is, I don't need a law. Because now I just do it. Because I don't do it. Christ does it. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me in the love. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died. Gave himself for me, who loved me. Huh. Let him do it all. It's much better when the parent does it. That's why little children, unless you enter the kingdom of God as a little child, you won't enter it at all. Because little children don't do anything. Little children let the parents do it all. That little baby, Brazos. Everybody look back there at Brazos. Letting the father fold the blanket. Why doesn't the baby help? You know, why is the father doing that? And the baby's doing nothing. Totally passive, totally doing nothing. That little baby, just having a good time. Why? Because they don't do anything. Their love for no reason at all. Your love for no reason at all. You're not loved because you're wonderful. You're not loved because you don't poop in your pants. You're loved because God loves you. It's His decision. He just likes you. You can do whatever you want to do. Isn't that amazing? If I were God, I would never do that. I'd only pick good people. But there aren't any. So God would have nothing. Besides, it was His idea. His idea in the beginning to give you the law, knowing that you fail, so that then He could forgive you. That was His idea. He always expected you to sin. Remember He put the tree in the middle of the garden? He said, no, don't eat of this tree. And every day you're walking by the tree. Don't eat of that. Don't eat of that. Don't even touch it. Don't even smell it. Don't even get near it. Whoa. So every day, why did He put it in the middle of the garden? Why did He put it off to the side in the closet? You know, He could have put it off to the side so that I wouldn't even notice it. You know, just walk right by. You know, but every day I'm walking east, west, north, south. Whatever I do in the garden, pretty soon I'm going to walk right through it because it's in the middle of the garden. It's right where I'm going to walk. So I don't want to stay on the edges. You know, but God puts it in the middle, so you have to walk into it every day. Now, why does He do that? So you can learn your lesson. What is it? I can't do anything apart from Him. Apart from Him, I can't do anything. I'm supposed to do everything. Nothing, nothing, nothing is made perfect under the law. Under the law, you cannot make anything perfect. When it says don't eat of the tree, the first thing I want to do is eat of that tree. Remember Eve? It wasn't a man, thank God. But it was Eve. Eve goofed up. She went and looked at that tree. And she, wow, what is wrong with that apple? That looks good. What's wrong with that? Let me see that apple. Now, women are curious. They really are. Why can't I? You know, anyway. So, what's wrong with a man? Okay. So she looks at it. She tastes it a little bit. Not too much. I mean, you know, but she didn't eat it. She just smelled it, looked at it, touched it. And so then the devil comes along and says, and he was subtle. He was supple. He was right there. Hi, sweetheart. You know what? If you eat this tree, you'll be like God. Ah, that's the goal, to be like God. All I do is eat this tree. I'll be wise as God, good as God, great as God, strong. I'll just eat this tree. I know the devil's lying according to the Bible, but who cares about the Bible? Forget what Adam told me. Adam's my husband. What's he know? Forget that. How many know that wives disobey husbands? I mean, it can be subtle. It can be subtle. But wives really have their own ideas. They have their own thoughts. My husband doesn't know how to keep the checkbook. I'll do it because he's, you know, foolish. How many know that men are inept in certain areas? I mean, they can't do all things. That's why they have the helpmate there. But a lot of times the woman just doesn't help. She's actually controlling and dominating. You're not like that. No. Thank God. But some wives are. They not only have suggestions to make, they want to force it. Well, do it. Just I don't like Peg to tell me what to do. I don't mind giving a suggestion, but we were talking about this in the car. There ought to be a suggestion box put in the house, and then a little garbage can underneath it so that when you put it in the box, it goes straight through. So you don't have to pay attention to it. Yes, yes, we welcome all suggestions. Put them in there. It goes right into the garbage. In other words, who wants to pay attention? So, you know, I told Peg before we got married, Peg, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up every morning at 6 o'clock. I'm still in bed. I want you to cook, you know, the breakfast and stuff, and let the bacon come back and the egg and so on and so forth, and then, so I can kind of smell it. And then wake me up about 7:30 or so, just before I have to get going, and bring my slippers and blah, 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 blah. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking. She didn't do it. She didn't want to do it. She wanted to lay in bed while I got up. Peg, there's no oatmeal out here. Fix it yourself. Oh, golly. This marriage thing is a bummer. I don't think she's a helpmate. I think she's trying to control and dominate me. Has anybody else had that frustration that I had? It's amazing. It's not the way it's cooked up to be at all. I thought I was the head. It says right here in the Bible, man is the head of the house. I read it right there. Head. You're submitted. I'm head. Head, me, boss, top. But she didn't want to please me. She did not want to please me. She just wanted to outwardly do the things she thought were okay, but she didn't want to do what she didn't think was okay. I had ideas for her that she didn't agree with. You know what I'm saying? So it's very frustrating for a husband who wants, you know, a wife to greet him at the door. Ha, honey, you're home. You know, but she'd be in, you know, washing the dishes or whatever. Peg, I'm here. I'm home. I love me. It's me. And the little kids, you know, they're, ah, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. But Peg's in there washing the dishes. Peg, it's me, look. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, sit down, what do you want? You know, golly, she's not excited at all to see me. Do y'all see that? Mm-hmm. Now, if I go away for about 2 weeks, she might be a little bit excited for a few minutes. Oh, you're back. You know, just a little tender right there, but, you know, not all the time. Do y'all see that? So, golly, poor man. Poor me. Did you ever hear of self-pity? You know, just because it's not the way you want it. How many know God said, look, I've given you everything. I've held back nothing. I've given you everything. Now, let's drop down. Let's drop all the way down to 12th verse, then I'll quit. 12th verse. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's alive. It's living. And powerful and sharper. Let's talk about the Bible now. The Bible is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, a two-edged sword is better than a single. A two-edged sword can cut you both ways. So for example, if you were a soldier in the ancient world and you had a two-edged sword, you could cut somebody with this side and then draw it over here to that side. You didn't have to turn the blade over. So a two-edged sword was the best. Whatever side you happened to run into, you didn't have to turn it over. You could cut somebody. That's how the Romans and others developed that idea. Two-edged sword. Razor sharp on both sides. So the Word of God is two-edged. What's the good of that? Because this Bible can cut you any way you go. In other words, it has the law and the gospel. It has the soul and the spirit. Over here is the law, the soul. Over here is the gospel, the heart. Okay? So now I can defeat the devil over here with this sword, but I also can please the Lord over here and defend myself from anybody. And I can prosper at all times. So here's the thing. It cuts between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. You cannot, no doctor on earth is able to cut between bone and marrow. In other words, if I cut a little bit of the marrow, I might cut a little bit of the bone. It's so sharp. The Word of God is sharper than that. No human being, no doctor, no surgeon can do it, even with a laser. Laser technology cannot divide between the soul and the spirit. They're too united. That's why the world knows nothing of spirit. It doesn't even understand it. Because it doesn't know the difference between soul and spirit. So when it says spirit, it just assumes you mean feeling or thought or will. They don't know. Because they can't distinguish between psychology and spirituality. Most of us want psychological happiness, physical comfort, but we don't want spiritual truth. Now, this is the secret to my life. I don't remember when it was, but long, long time ago, I decided, Jim, do you want psychological happiness in this world, or do you want spiritual truth? A no-brainer. I want happiness. I want whatever makes me happy. That was a no-brainer. I don't care about truth. I don't care about Jesus or God or anything. I don't care. It had no meaning to me at all. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want any God telling me what to do, you know, bumping into me. I don't even want him helping me. Don't even talk to me. Just get away. I don't believe in you. So I just took care of Jim. I just wanted Jim to be happy all the time. So you can see that that's going to get me in trouble. So I wanted not happiness because I realized after a while I was doing everything to make me happy and it wasn't working. I don't know if any of you have ever tried that. Now, it was not that I was failing. I was actually going higher and higher and higher. I was getting everything I wanted. I had the top school, the top grades, the top everything. I wasn't failing. I was actually succeeding. And that's how you find out there's nothing there. The more you succeed, the more you realize there's nothing there. So you become a billionaire, you discover that billionaires aren't that happy. You know, I mean, I could give illustration after illustration. That's a curse, even, to get the things you want. You're a Hollywood beautiful star, and you find out you kill yourself. Why? Because it doesn't work. It's not as neat as it looks like. When you actually get to the top of the mountain, you realize there's nothing after that but going down. You know, it took all that effort to get up, and then as soon as you get it, you know, you kill off the opposition, you become the dictator of Cuba, and then after that, it's all downhill. I mean, it's one thing to win a war, it's another thing to run a country. It's not so easy. And so, after a while, I realized I don't want happiness then, because I know how to get happiness out of a bottle or whatever. I have 1,000 ways to get happiness. I have 1,000,000,000 ways to get happiness. How many know you can make yourself happy anytime you want to, especially if you don't care about sin? And I didn't. But then I said, okay, what's the truth? Is there a God? I don't want there to be one. But what if there is one? Then I'm messed up. Because if there is another world somewhere, then I'm going to have to pass muster. I'm not going to make it. Because I just lived totally for myself. I swore when I wanted to. I cheated. I lied. I stole. I did whatever I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. The hell with everybody else. So that was my nasty way of living. I've never met anybody nastier than I am. Never. Nor more cold, nor more cruel. Without any guilt, without any conscience, without any emotion whatsoever. But Jesus bothered me. I went to Christian school. I shouldn't have done that. Went to a Christian school to try to put a little Jesus into my life, or a little God. Because my parents thought it'd be good. Get a little morals in you. You have no morals. And they sent me to a Christian school, and you know, it was like SMU. They didn't even believe in God at the Christian school. You know, the Methodist word didn't mean zip. It just meant, you know, school. It didn't mean God. Or, we got a better one, Texas Christian University. You know, put the word Christian in it. It doesn't mean anything. You can go there being atheist. And most of the professors are. They believe God, you know, went out with, you know, Coca-Cola or something. I don't know. They don't believe in it anymore. And so you to be a Christian now is to actually be an idiot. Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, okay. Yeah, they don't say that's stupid. They just simply, okay, well, that's nothing. I mean, I should get a collar or something so that people show a little respect. Used to be able to get parking meters and stuff like that. Oh, pastor, reverend. That's gone. You used to get discounts in stores if you were a minister. You didn't get anything now. I got in at the wrong time. Should have gotten in the 19th century or something. People honored pastors. They respected them. Now people just, yeah, that's a nice sermon. Nice message. You know, good suggestions. Now they have psychiatrists and everything else. You know, they don't want this truth thing. Well, anyway, forget all that. I just decided I'm going after truth. Well, I never expected that I would be a Christian. I never expected that I'd become godly, but I did. So I divided. The Word of God did this. It ruined me. This Word of God ruined me. I was going after 7 degrees. I wanted more than anybody else just so I could be the top. And I was getting there, too. And all of a sudden, I read this stupid book, and it ruined me. This stupid book ruined me. And I realized, I don't know about this God thing. I don't think I want to yield to Him, surrender to Him. What'll be me? What about me? Me. All I have is me. How many are desperate like that? All you got is you. And you'll be a control freak. I mean, if you're down here, you're going to be a control freak. That's why I lied, cheated, stole. Because I wanted to control everything. Why should I have to go to the counter and pay when I can just put it in my pocket and walk out? It was easy. I started out with an eraser when I think I was 11. That was my first steal. And after that, that was a piece of cake. I could steal all kinds of things. Did you know that? Did you know it's clever? I even stole in church. I mean, I've told you this before, but when the plate would come around, I'd click it with my thumb so it sounded like I put some coins in, and then I'd actually take out money. And I was in seminary at that time studying to be a minister. Now, here's my thinking. Here's my thinking. Why should I put money into the plate when this church wants to help young ministers get an education? I'll just take it straight. Save them the hassle. You know, you think I really didn't think that. I did. I actually did think that. In other words, I had a good justification there. I knew, you know, and besides, people have their eyes closed. They're not even paying attention. You can just take it out and put it in. Y'all think that's bad? Do y'all think that's bad? Yeah, of course it's evil. But, you know, it didn't bother me.
It's so bad that I don't believe he really did that.
Yeah. Well, Peggy would sit next to me sometimes. She could tell you I did it. I had no conscience. I didn't care. You know, just take advantage of people's stupidity and gullibility. Hello? I could do anything. Now, I'm not saying this to brag. It's stupid. It's bad. It's evil. I'm just telling you what a natural person is like when you don't suppress yourself, when you express your flesh. And I did. And I didn't give a rip what people thought. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't worried. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't, you know, anything. I just did what I wanted. Now, you do too. You just maybe don't do it as openly as I did, as boldly. I don't do that now. Honest. But it's because Jesus ruined me. This book ruined me. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. You want to be under the law? It'll cut you. You want to be under the gospel? It'll cut away the law so that you only have the gospel. I'll tell you, this Word of God is so sharp that it will say, if you're trying to be a Christian but be soulish at the same time, you're not going to make it. Many, many, many in the church, nobody here, of course, many in the church are just soulish. They believe in the words of the gospel, the concepts, but they don't actually live them. They're over here angry, bitter, and they don't confess it, and they justify it, and so on. That's what I used to do. But over here, and they're playing the Christian game, hypocrite. But over here, everything's done by the Spirit. You just let the Spirit do it all. And if you sin, you just tell them, God, I just exaggerated. I just lied. You know, do you think I can't lie to you? I could lie to you and tell you all kinds of things that you want to hear. And that's what many ministers do. Ministers are liars. Ministers are liars. I'm just telling you the truth. Is I actually do love Jesus. Why? I don't know. The Word convinced me that this wasn't going to work. Because it's a two-edged sword. And this does. And it's a free gift. That blew me away. Why would God love a sinner? I thought He was holy. Why would He love an unholy person like me? I thought I was going to go to hell. Yes, you could have, but Jesus died for you. If you want it, it's a free gift. Well, how much do you have to pay? Nothing. Nothing? That doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. I mean, I've sworn. I swear. I mean, not swear on the Bible. I just swear. And He said, no, you can still get in. Well, I've done bad a lot. Deliberate, too. Enjoyable, too. I know I sinned. I enjoyed it. I actually was proud. I was proud of the things I did. I don't want to tell you all the things I did, but I was proud of it. I worked at it. You understand? Now, most of you go like this when you do a sin. Oh, I didn't mean that. If I sinned, I meant it. I wanted to. I didn't go to client accidentally. I did it deliberately. I cheated on every test I ever took. You know, unless they said, write your name at the top of the page. I didn't cheat on that. But I cheated on everything you're supposed to know. And I cheated in the church. I cheated everything. What's good about that? Here's what's good about it. Is that I realized, wow, if I could ever be a Christian, it'd have to be a gift. It'd have to be free. It'd have to be something someone else did, because it couldn't be me. I would never live up to it. Now, I'm saying that for your sake, if you're over here struggling, you're not going to make it. I can just tell you right now. And if you're over here being a Christian but still trying to be soulish, you're doing stuff but you're doing it legalistically. You're not doing it because the Holy Spirit told you. You didn't come to church today because the Holy Spirit told you. You came because it's a habit. You came because you just felt you needed to or should or ought to or something, or thought you were good. I never think anything like that. I know I'm always bad, I'm always evil, but Jesus is good. So here's the issue. The issue isn't whether I lie, it's whether He lies. I believe God cannot lie. Now, I'm not making myself believe it. I just believe it. I don't believe God can lie. Well, where did you get the idea? Out of this book. I read it in the book. Well, did you feel it? I don't care if I felt it. Well, did you understand it? I don't care if I understand it. Well, did you want that? I don't care if I wanted it. I totally disregard that. I'm not looking for happiness. I'm looking for truth. I'm not looking for happiness. I'm looking for truth. Here's the truth. God can't lie. Now, one day, 7 years, I thought about it, said no. One day I just suddenly believed. How did it happen? Don't know. All I know is one day I believed the promises. One day something happened to me and I jumped over here and I fell in love with Jesus. And it's been a love affair ever since. So, wow, this guy loves me and now I love God, I love people, I love enemies, I love everybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I don't care what kind of sin you've ever done. It doesn't bother me at all. Does that make sense? You ought to be, as a Christian, you ought to be the light to this world. You're not here to damn the world. You're here to save the world. That is, tell them about Jesus. I'm not. I'm nothing. But Jesus is everything. And He is my all in all. So when I sing, I don't sing for people to hear me. I'm singing to Jesus. Why? I love Him. When I'm alone in my car, when I'm alone, I'm talking to Jesus. I love talking to Jesus, singing to Him. I sing in English, I sing in tongues, I sing any way I want to. I don't know, I don't even think about it. I don't have any thoughts. I'm not controlling myself. You all understand? I'm totally out of control. When you're a Christian, you're just spontaneous. You don't have to make me love my wife, I love my wife. You don't have to make me love people, I love people. I love people that are liars, thieves. I love people that are hypocrites, phonies. I love anybody. Why? Because Jesus first loved me. We love because He first loved us. So that's why I love. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. Did you know if you've been a real sinner, I mean a serious one, a real sinner, you haven't gotten that far, have you, at your age? Have you done a couple of sins? But not a lot. Not as much as your mother. You're not up to her yet. No. Well, you know, if you're a real sinner and you've been forgiven, I'm going to tell you something. You're a lover. Because you've been forgiven much. The more you've sinned, the mucher you've sinned, the mucher you love. Best is yet to come. All right, God is good. I hope you are blessed today. What have you learned today? The divide between soul and spirit. Soul is over here, spirit's over here. Now you get a new soul, but I'm going to tell you, even if you're a Christian, born again with a new heart, your soul jumps back over here every day. Every morning, you have to start all over again. Soul, what are you doing? I'm over here. You need to love Jesus. I don't want to. Crucify you. Bring it over here. You see, you have to crucify your soul every day. Jim, that's not you. This is you over here. No, this is me. No, it isn't. Get over here. So that's how I command myself. I command myself, Pam. I just tell myself, you want to go to church today. I don't feel like it. Yeah, but you want to. Well, I don't want to. Yes, you do. Besides, you're the pastor. So get over there. And I just talk to myself. Did you know King David did that in the Bible? What soul? Why are you cast down? Why are you discouraged? Well, because the wicked are always doing this and that, and Christians are, you know, hated and persecuted and so on and so forth. Well, why are you complaining and griping? Jesus loves you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jesus has forgiven all your sins. The Holy Spirit's given to you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Forget those people. Love them. Bless them. Don't be afraid. Are you unafraid? I tell you, perfect love casts out all fear. You can defeat fear. You can defeat any sin. If you could defeat fear, you could defeat any sin. How do you do it? Easy. Perfect love. His. Promise. 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 Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. I tell you, it's too powerful. It's too powerful. It's too powerful. I love you all. Really, honestly, truly. But it's actually not me. It's actually a new me, Jesus. That's Jesus. All right. God is good. Let's close in prayer when the music is getting ready here. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank You for the truth that sets us free. We thank You that this word was not given to be done. It was given because it's already done. You did it. You've already done it. It's already finished. There's nothing more to be done. Just to thank You, praise You, and adore You for doing everything. Thank You, Lord God, for Your promises. We know You can't lie. You told the truth. You've set us free. We've entered into Your rest. There is no more sixth day. There's no more seventh day. Every day is glorious. Every day is part of the new creation. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.